Friends, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. On this day of the celebration of the Nativity of John the Baptist, let's hear again the words of Zechariah's prophecy after his child was born. And his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give knowledge of salvation to his people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." This is God's word. Please be seated. Well, she knew what was going to happen. She had met her son and his wife out in the hospital hallway, and they were carrying one of those Mylar balloons that said, "It's a boy," and they also had along with them a sweatshirt that said, "World's Greatest Grandpa." Her husband was about to receive a gracious visitation right there in his hospital room with news of an impending birth. But before everyone just went bursting into the room, she thought that it would probably be best if she would go in first to kind of gently wake up her husband, get him propped up in his bed, looking halfway decent. Her husband was dying. And of course, nothing was going to change that. He would leave the hospital, most likely, still alive, but still, he only had a few months to live. But today, he was going to hear that their son and his wife were going to have a baby, that it would be a boy, and that he was going to be a grandpa. And even though he was all surrounded in his hospital room by all of these reminders of his impending death, today he would have a wonderful reminder of God's gift of life. And so she went into her husband's room to try to prepare her dying loved one for the gracious visitation of their son and his pregnant wife. A little bit of good news to redeem the day. You know, sometimes it's kind of hard to hear good news, as crazy as that may sound. It's hard to hear good news when the hard circumstances of life prevent us from a moment of holy joy. I remember in my own life, I was ordained as a pastor on the same day that my wife's grandfather died, although we were not told of his death until after all of the ordination festivities, because the family wanted us to savor that day of holy joy, free from all of the sorrows of the world. But of course, really, is there ever a time when we are free from the sorrows of this world? God knows that we live in a broken world of cancer, of middle-of-the-night phone calls we hope to never get, of painful divorces and financial stresses and wayward children and the ravages of old age, a world where sometimes it's all we can do just to survive, just to find a reason to get up out of bed in the morning and get going, a world that crowds so closely and so loudly upon our lives that any messenger of good news is drowned out in the din. And that is why God sends John ahead of Christ to prepare the way, to cut through the din of this world, to get our ears ready to hear good news and our lives prepared to receive the gracious visitation of our God. John the Baptist is familiar to us for many reasons. It is he who leaped in his mother's womb upon the greeting of Mary, the mother of Jesus. He is the one who is out there in the wilderness, dressed in animal skins and surviving on locusts and wild honey and preaching like a dying man to dying men. He baptized Jesus in the Jordan River, of course. He was imprisoned by Herod and his head ended up on a platter as a party favor. So John can be remembered for many things, but none of these is really why we celebrate his nativity. We remember John the way God himself in his word says he wants John to be remembered. And we have an important clue in the song of Zechariah. See, when John was born, God opened up the mouth of his father, Zechariah, who, if you recall, had been rendered mute during his wife Elizabeth's pregnancy because he had failed to trust God's promise of a son. But as soon as that son was born, and he scribbled out on that tablet, his name is John, God opened his lips, and he prophesied, and he sang a song about his son. And he said, "You, my son, you will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his way and to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins." John is to be remembered as the one who went ahead of Jesus to prepare us for God's gracious visitation, when God himself would step into history and into our lives and into our broken world to redeem this whole mess, to save us from the hands of our enemies, as Zechariah says, to redeem us. And that brings us back to verse 68, then, the very first sentence of Zechariah's song. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people." And that is essentially the good news that John was going to proclaim, of course, once he grew up to be a man. First, that God was visiting his people. Not in the person of John, as we heard John himself say in our reading, our Acts reading from Acts today. He said, "I am not he. I am not the Christ." But God would visit in the person and in the flesh of John's cousin, the son of Mary, the son of God, whose sandals John was not even worthy to untie. And then the second part of that good news is that by this gracious visitation of God, God was going to redeem his creation. God was going to bring something wonderful out of this unholy mess that we've made for ourselves in this world. And so to prepare us to receive this redemption, John would be the one to call all of mankind to repent of their sins, because after all, the root problem of our grim predicament is rebellion against God. Everything goes back to sin. Cancer goes back to sin. Divorce, violence, hatred, the ravages of old age, financial anxiety, dementia, broken relationships, wars, gang violence. It's not just the way it is, as if the creation was supposed to work like this. But everything that intrudes upon our joy is traced back to the sin that will also ultimately kill us. So while doctors and counselors and social safety nets and medicines and security systems can provide a little bit of relief in this broken world, that is all just a tiny drop in a bucket compared to the enormity of our real problem. It's going to take Almighty God himself to provide the comprehensive solution to our mess, to redeem this whole thing, and to make something wonderful of his broken creation. And since sin is the root of the problem, the forgiveness of sins is the only true redemption. Zechariah does not say that John will give the knowledge of salvation through political systems, or economic or social systems, or through government policies, or through the sciences. No, he will give us the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of sins. And so John is going to get us ready, as we really need to be ready, by going straight to the root of the problem, He minces no words and cries out in the wilderness, "Repent! Repent! That's your real problem. Sin, repent, prepare the way of the Lord." And ultimately, the nativity of John the Baptist then is not really about John the Baptist. As John himself would say, he, Jesus, must increase. I must decrease. We celebrate John's nativity because it's such an important part of the story of how God unfolded his plan of salvation through his Son, that we might receive him who not only redeems us from our sins, but who also redeems every circumstance of our lives as God works all things to good for those who love him and are called by him. And because every situation, every circumstance of our lives is redeemed by God for his good purposes, our perspective on the hard times of life has changed completely and radically. And dare we even say this with Paul in Romans? Yeah, yes, let's say it. That we can even rejoice in our sufferings because God is redeeming our sufferings. God is making something wonderful out of our sufferings. As Paul says, suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and this hope does not disappoint us. So when the hard times intrude upon our joy, this is the news that restores our joy. That God, who has redeemed us by the blood of Jesus Christ, is also redeeming our circumstances and will finally redeem his entire creation. Therefore, we rejoice. Now, a little side note here. You're all familiar with the musical scale Do, Re, Mi, Fa, Sol, La, Ti, Do, right? Did you know that hidden behind those syllables is the praise of John the Baptist? They come from an ancient hymn about John the Baptist titled in Latin, Ut quiant lexis. You have the stanza there in front of you. If you take the time to read the translation, you will note that this hymn is actually a prayer to St. John that he would open up, he would absolve us of sin and open our lips. So this prayer really has no place in our devotional life. I'm just giving it to you as a matter of history, because we do not pray to dead saints, we pray to the living God. In any case, you will notice that the first syllables of every half line form, well, you'll see here, begins with the symbol ut, ut quiant lexis. And then the second syllable of that half line is re, re, resonere fibris. And then you go to the next line, first syllable, mira. There's where we get our mi, gestorum. And then the second syllable that begins the second half of that line, famuli tuorum. And then the third line, solve, polluti. And then the second part of that begins with the syllable, labii reatum. That is our stained lips, and then Sancta Ioannis, St. John. Well, around 1000 AD, an Italian monk used these syllables from this hymn to represent the tones of the musical scale. Ut, re, mi, fa, sol, la. Ut was eventually replaced with do, I don't know when or why. And of course, T was then added to, you know why T was added, because that brings us back to Do, right? And it was in the late 1950s that Richard Rodgers of Rodgers and Hammerstein picked up on this ancient musical system, and he wrote the song that we all know and love, From the Sound of Music. So hidden behind that song, that familiar way of learning the tones of the scale, is the praise of John the Baptist. In a similar way, John the Baptist is himself a hidden figure behind the church's great hymns of praise to Jesus Christ. Because it was, after all, John who prepared the way for Christ by calling us to repentance, that we might know in Christ the salvation, his salvation and redemption through the forgiveness of sins. In Christ, God has visited and redeemed his people, redeemed us from our sins, and redeemed every situation and circumstance of our lives for our good. God visited us in Christ, and he left us with redemption. You know, after all of our wedding guests left here this last weekend, they finished their visitation, they left us with overflowing trash cans. But when God visited, we in our circumstances were redeemed. And by the way, you may wonder why we as Lutherans commemorate the great saints of the past. Perhaps that sounds very Roman Catholic to you, but let's remember that Luther always wanted to retain what was good about the Roman Catholic Church, but to do away with what was not good, or according to God's word. So while praying to the saints is out, remembering the saints has always been a part of Lutheran piety. So today we remember John the Baptist and his nativity, as we do all the saints, for three reasons. First of all, is thankfulness. We thank God for the saints. And in the case of John, we thank God for John, through whom God prepared the world to receive the Christ, its Savior. The second reason we remember the saints is for our own strengthening. By observing John's life so fearlessly lived for God, we draw strength to do the same. And the third reason we remember the saints is to encourage imitation, that we would mimic John and boldly call our world to repent and to believe in Jesus Christ, despite any cost, for in Christ God has visited and redeemed his people. So happy birthday, happy nativity, John the Baptist. He prepared us well to receive our Redeemer, Jesus, who is the light who dawns upon us in our darkness and in the shadow of death, and who guides our feet into the ways of peace. God has visited and redeemed us. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.